John chapter number 4, as I mentioned to you, is where we are for the preaching of God's word here this evening. John 4, and we want to start with verse number 19. Now, if I can give you a little bit of a context as we get to verse number 19, in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus, as the Bible said, needed to go through the area of Israel called Samaria. And of course, that was a place where the Samaritans dwelled. And that group of people, the Samaritans, were people who had what we would consider, and I believe correctly, a false form of worship.
It was loosely based on the Bible and what God had given through Moses, but it was mixed with carnality, it was mixed with the wickedness of this world, and it was really a compromising religion. And this woman was a Samaritan, and Jesus began to speak with her and share with her the good news of what he could offer her in the form of living water. Well, in the course of the conversation, we find ourselves in verse number 19, where she brings up a debate with Jesus that had been going on between the Samaritans and the Jews, all right? So verse number 19, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." So in other words, the Samaritans worshipped in Mount Gerizim. "And ye say," the Jews, "that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." So the idea is, what is right? If you're a prophet, give me the answer. Verse 21, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." We'll end right there for our text, but the title of the message is "The Father Seeketh Such to Worship Him." And I want you to think for just a moment, if there's something that God is seeking for, shouldn't it be something that we desire to have in our lives? Amen. It's a pretty obvious question, but let me ask it again, and I want you to not let it be just something that passes over your head. Ask yourself the question, is this something that is important to me? Because if God is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth, then shouldn't that be my heart's desire to give that to him, to worship him in spirit and in truth? And again, the obvious answer is yes. If I love him and if I understand all that he's given to me, I'm going to want to give him what he is seeking for. So let me ask you this question. Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? We have here in this passage of Scripture a woman of Samaria who's trying to get in a debate with Jesus of where is the right place to worship. Is it in Mount Gerizim where the Samaritans were worshiping, in that place where they would give kind of their false religion? Or is it really in Jerusalem at the place where the temple was placed there? And is that the right place to worship? And what I would have you notice is that Jesus never really gives a solid answer, because he points her not to the place of worship, but to the type of worship. That's the important thing. And I would encourage us tonight that it's the same with you and me. It's not necessarily the place of worship that is as important as the type of worship, or whether or not we worship correctly, truly. That's the real issue. And I'm glad that you're in church on a Sunday evening, and I believe that all that are here tonight have a desire to worship the Lord properly, but I want to encourage you to consider whether or not you're worshiping in spirit and in truth, or you're just kind of worshiping in form. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Now, Lord, I do ask that you would help me with this message. Lord, I do know that this is an important message for all of us, and I know that Satan does not like this, because Lord, if your people will worship you in spirit and in truth, then your name will be glorified and exalted, and Satan and his work will be diminished. But Lord, I pray that you would foil Satan's plans tonight. I ask of you to bind and rebuke the wicked one, to close his mouth, and not let him speak tonight, not let him distract, not let him turn our minds to other things, not let him give doubt or confusion. Lord, I pray that in that place, you in your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds and give us understanding what it means to worship in spirit and truth and give us conviction about that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would work in a mighty way in this message for Jesus' sake, and in his name we pray, amen. Let me give to you a quote that I read in a book recently, and this quote is good. I really want you to grab a hold of this because I think as a pastor, having the privilege to work with God's people and being just a Christian myself, this is exactly right. This quote hits the nail right on the head, so pay very close attention to it. People have the idea that the preacher is an actor on a stage and they are the critics, blaming or praising him. What they do not know is that they are the actors on the stage. He is merely the prompter standing in the wings, reminding them of their lost lines, and God is the audience. I want you to think about that for just a minute. And I fall prey, like you do, to the thinking that whatever happens on the stage here, this is the stage. When the choir sings, when the young ladies sing, when the pastor's preaching, when the announcements are given, we have the tendency in the pews to think that this is the stage and we're the audience. And what the pastor says, I can kind of critique that and say, well, I don't know about that. And boy, he should have done that differently. And I wish this would happen. And the choir, boy, if they were just this way, or boy, I thought that was great and it helped me to worship the Lord and all of that. We think many times that that what happens up here is the stage and we're the audience and the critics, but we've got it all wrong. Friends, this is the stage. God is the audience. He's watching not just me, although he is watching me. Listen, when we're in church, he's watching you. And he's critiquing, yes, me, but you also. God is the audience, and he's watching what we do here. And he's the one who's the judge. And the pastor, the choir, the young ladies, whoever's up here, we are the prompters for all of us, including ourselves, reminding us that we have an audience and here are your lines. In other words, the job of the pastor, the choir, whoever, is to prompt us all to worship God together. Brother Adrian, as he's up here leading the songs, it's not about how good of a song leader he is, as in to make it enjoyable to sing, although he does a great job. It is how good of a song leader is he in prompting God's people to worship God as the audience watching them worship. Adrian is doing his job right if he's encouraging us to sing in such a way that God is pleased. I, as the pastor, am doing a good job if, as I'm preaching, I'm encouraging you to respond to the message in such a way that God is pleased. Amen. And I want to encourage you that even as the message is preached, and many times there's an altar call and things like that, and I'm not saying that every service, every time, everyone ought to come to the altar, but I am saying God's watching how we respond. And when the message is preached and when something is said that smites our heart and the Holy Spirit says, that's for you, how you respond is your acting on the stage and God is the audience. Let me put it this way, because acting is kind of a bad analogy. Your response is your worship to God. If you respond with a tender heart in the proper way, that's proper worship. If you respond with a coldness and a deadness, then that's improper worship. And I want to remind you, I'm not the audience, you're not the audience, God is the audience. And he's seeking such to worship him. Now, let's break this down from John chapter number 4 and what the Samaritan woman said and what Jesus said. Let me just say this before we get to the 2 points in the message. First of all, that the Samaritans worshiped improperly, but I gather from this passage of Scripture here that they worshiped in spirit. What I mean by in spirit is not in the Holy Spirit, but they worshiped with all of their heart. It wasn't dead formality. And again, I'm reading into the passage a little bit, so forgive me for that. You judge on your own. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in that. But I believe that when Jesus mentioned spirit and in truth, he's contrasting the two, Samaritans and Jews. You see, the Jews had the truth. They had the Old Testament, law of Moses, and they followed that form very carefully. Would you agree with me on that? They were in detail trying to obey the letter of the law. But their hearts were not in it. Jesus said as much. He said, and he quoted the Old Testament prophets when they said that with their mouth they worship me, but their heart is far from me. They had the form correct, but their heart was full of dead men's bones. They were like whited sepulchers. They had the truth, but not the spirit. I would say then that I'm guessing that Jesus was insinuating the Samaritans, their heart was in the worship that they gave, but it was improper worship. We know from tradition and also from Scripture that they were a mix of religion. It was a little bit of the truth mixed with a lot of error, but I'm guessing that their heart was in it, that they were all in, that it was full of fun and excitement. And it reminds me of, I'm imagining this now, that perhaps some of their religion was a little bit like those who worshiped Baal in the days of Elijah. Do you remember what that was like on Mount Carmel? As Elijah was there watching and the prophets of Baal stood up and they were calling on Baal to send fire down and consume their sacrifice, they were yelling and crying out and cutting themselves. There was all kinds of animation in it and their heart was in it. And many times, friends, that's the way it is with false worship. There's all kinds of heart in it, but it doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it that which pleases God. So that brings us to the 2 points of the message. The first one is this: we need to worship God in spirit. The second one is we need to worship God in truth. So let's talk about those, and we'll get through the message, all right? Follow with me now. You and I, if we want to please God in worship, if we want to do what we do here properly, number one, we need to worship God in spirit. That's what Jesus said in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. So, what does it mean to worship in spirit? Well, I would say this. First of all, worshiping in spirit is not just going through the external motions. Worshiping in spirit is not just going through the external motions. And many times in worship, it is easy for us as independent fundamental Baptists to go through the motions. Many of you are like me, you grew up in church, and it's easy for us. Listen, we know the form, we know the ritual, we know how to get by and go through a service, and when it's all said and done, we never really worship God. We just went through the form. That's not worshiping in spirit. I read to you the quote already about how we many times think that the people on the platform are the actors, but we're wrong. We are the actors, which means our heart needs to be in what we are doing. So I want to encourage you with this. When you come to the church to worship God, let your heart be in it. Come with your heart involved. Give it your all. Now, I'll admit before you, and I'll let you get away with not admitting before me, but I already know the truth about you, that you're like me, that you struggle with that. I struggle with it. I'll be honest with you. I struggle with it. Because I come, and especially being the pastor and being the one who kind of is somewhat in charge of how things go and all of that, it's easy for me to get lost in the formality of it all because I want things to go well, I want them to be done decently and in order, and it's easy to just try to get through the motions and get it done, and when it's all said and done, I didn't really worship the Lord. And I would imagine that you have the same problem that I have, but let me encourage you to not do it that way. Come with your heart invested and involved. You can direct your heart. You've got to give it your all. Now, there's a problem with that. And that is what the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17. Turn with me there. You want to keep your place in John, but turn with me to Jeremiah 17. There's a problem with us trying to get our heart involved. Jeremiah chapter number 17. We've looked at this passage of Scripture recently in other services. Jeremiah 17, notice verse number 9, where the Bible clearly talks to us about our heart, and it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So what that tells me is, if I'm just going to try to answer the worshiping God in spirit by making sure my heart is in it, there's a problem because my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, which means a couple of things. Number one, if my heart is involved, then my worship is tainted because my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Not only that, but my heart will tell me it's involved and all the way in, but my heart is deceitful. My heart will lie to me, and so will yours. So what's the answer? If my heart is wicked and tainted, how can I worship God in spirit and in truth? Well, when we think back to John chapter number 4, when Jesus said to worship in spirit and in truth, notice what he says in verse 24. So go back to John chapter number 4. He answers the question for us in this way. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he ties the worship of spirit and truth to the fact that God is a spirit. So if I'm going to worship God in spirit, Jesus must be trying to tell me that God's presence, if he is a spirit, must somehow be involved. You follow what I'm saying there? In other words, this, he says, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, that means that it must be something beyond just me giving it my all. There must be some spiritual aspect that is going to get involved if I'm going to worship God in spirit. And if we would say that, I would say this, we hit the nail again right on the head. That if I'm going to worship God in spirit, yes, I need to have all of my heart involved, but it's even going beyond that. It's the Spirit of God, listen, must come over me and inspire my worship. The Spirit of God must be the one within me worshiping with all the Spirit. Because that's the only way it can work, because my human spirit is tainted. It won't work. I need the Spirit of God to do it through me. So friends, here's what I need then. What I need is to walk in the Spirit. If you were to ask me, Pastor, on a Sunday morning when things are crazy and the kids are the way that they are and, you know, Satan is right there beating me over the head as I'm trying to get into church and I want to worship God in spirit and truth, I want my heart to be in it, but it's been a hard day and all the rest, how in the world can I get beyond the things of this life and worship in spirit and truth? My answer to you would be, you must, listen, you must walk in the Spirit. Satan is going to fight, you're going to have trouble with the kids, your spouse, the job, flat tires, whatever happens on a Sunday, and it happens to many of you and all of us from time to time. But listen, what we've got to do is we've got to step back when those things happen and walk in the Spirit, because you cannot worship in spirit and in truth without the Holy Spirit of God. It is impossible. You must worship in the Spirit. You've got to walk with him. Here's the truth of the matter. The reason that we struggle many times worshiping God in spirit and in truth in the church is because we're not worshiping God Monday through Saturday. And we come to church on Sunday and we expect some magical transformation to happen when we're in the building, and it doesn't work that way. Friends, that's what the Jews were trying to do. They weren't worshiping in spirit. Because they thought, well, in the formality and in the actions, that's where the worship is. But they were wrong. It's not in the formality. It's not in the actions, whether in Jesus' day for the Jews or in 2021 for independent Baptists. Worshiping God is not about having the right hymnal. Worshiping God is not even about having the right Bible, although I'll get to that in just a minute. It certainly helps us. But the formality of that will not be it. Being in God's house and having the church as a building, as a place to worship with a pastor on a platform that's raised behind a pulpit, that formality will not get it done. If you and I are not worshiping on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all the way through Saturday, then we're going to struggle on Sunday morning. But you see, we've got to worship God every day. Now, here's how it should work. Let me use an illustration. I like to use a grill that I have, and it's an older Weber grill. Great grill, by the way, best one I've ever owned. And one thing I've learned about grilling is this. What you do when you use the charcoal briquettes is you get them and you pile them up together, right? And then you pour lots and lots and lots and lots of fuel on them. And then you let that fuel sit for a little bit and soak into those briquettes, and then you send one of your kids out with a match. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. You don't send one of your kids out with a match. That's the last thing you want to do. Why? Because pastor tends to use too much of the fuel, and there's usually a when he lights it. And usually I lose some hair on my arms. But I light those briquettes, and they burn for a while, and they get white hot, and then I can spread them out, and then I can cook with them. But think about if I took those same briquettes and rather than piling them up and pouring the fuel on them, what if I took briquettes and I put maybe, let's just say, 20 or 25 in that Weber grill and I separated them one from another? And I poured the same amount of fuel on those 25 briquettes. And I lit it after a time of letting it soak, how good of a fire would I get? And the answer is a very, very poor one. It would burn that fuel off and then pretty much be done. But there's something that happens when those briquettes are together. They're each individually on fire. And there is a symmetry that is involved when all of them are packed tightly together that causes them to put off more heat and for a longer period of time. Are you following me on that? And if I want to put the fire out, what do? I spread those coals out and separate them from one another. Let's use that as an illustration of worship. What I need to do as an individual before I come to worship the Lord together with you is I need to be, I'm going to use the illustration of lit, not in a cool way, young people, but as in, I need to be worshiping the Lord individually myself, filled with the Spirit, on fire with the Holy Spirit. You need to come previously in the week, walking with the Lord, being led by Him, on fire with the Holy Spirit. When we come together in worship, then, what we become is a catalyst to one another. That your worship and my worship together, it becomes with symmetry even more than the sum of our parts. But many times what we do is we come to the worship service very cold, not lit, and we expect the pastor, the choir, the song leader, the special music to be the fire lighting us. But the problem is that in a church service, there's not enough time for us to do that. And very separately, very soon, we go our separate ways and the fire dies out. Friends, you and I need to have that fire lit when we come so that as we get together, the worship is what it ought to be. Okay? So using that illustration and thinking about this, listen, the Spirit of God needs to be the one inspiring my worship. It needs to be an overflow of my time spent with the Spirit of God. As I am filled with Him, as I'm walking with Him, here's what He's going to do. He's going to fill my heart and my life with praise for the Father. so that when I come together, listen, with you, it's going to be an overflow. It's just going to be worship. Because guess what? That's what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God within me causes me to worship God. I guarantee it. Listen, you know this. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm not grumpy. That means, listen, my wife knows if I'm grumpy, which I never am, especially not when I'm hungry, but if I'm grumpy, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Somehow I got disconnected from Him. It's not that He left me. He never leaves nor forsakes. But I'm not walking in Him. If I'm upset, if I'm angry, if I'm feeling dead and cold towards the things of God, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an overflow of love and praise for God. It just flows out when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key. Now, turn with me, if you would, to John chapter number 6. Here's an interesting thing about the Spirit. John 6 and verse 63. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," in other words, makes alive. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So if I want to worship God in spirit, it's going to come right back to the Word of God, isn't it? That means, friends, that if I am having trouble walking in the Spirit, where do I need to turn? The Word of God. It all comes back to here. Over and over and over again in the Word, God calls us back to the Word of God for everything that we need. We could talk about Ephesians 6 and the armor that we need to be putting on every day. Every one of those parts of the armor of God is rooted in the Word of God itself. Walking in the Spirit is rooted in the Bible. It's not about emotion. It's not about working things up and listening to enough Christian music that suddenly my heart overflows, although there's nothing wrong with that, and music has its place. But if I really want to be in the Spirit and worship God in the Spirit, I'm going to get back to the Word of God with an open and humble heart, soaking it in, reading it, applying it to my life, and I'll find that before long, I'm walking in the Spirit with an overflow of praise to God, so that as I gather together with God's people to worship, I'm able to be a catalyst rather than a glass of cold water on the worship. And you and I need to do that, all of us together. Go back to John chapter number 4, because we not only need to worship in spirit, which we learned is the idea of all in with all of our heart, not just dead formality, but the whole being involved. And that's not about emotions. It's about the Spirit of God within me doing that. And I'll find that in the Word of God. But now Jesus said in John 4, 23, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Spirit worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." So it needs to be not only in spirit, but it needs to be in truth. In other words, this: we cannot think in our minds, "Well, as long as my heart is in it, then everything's okay. As long as I mean well, then it doesn't really matter the details of the truth. As long as I give God all of my heart," all those details and formalities about truth, "oh, that's not important. What the Bible says, if I don't quite get everything right, it's not that big of a deal." Friends, that's wrong. You must have both spirit and truth. You cannot be all like the Jews were, formality, 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 correct formality, but no heart involved. Just worshiping with the mouth, but not with the heart. But you can't have it like the Samaritans had it either, where we're all in, we're all involved, it's exciting, it's fun, everybody comes there with an attitude of desiring to worship and ignore what Moses said. You can't have that either. And friends, modern day church, in the modern day Christianity that we see in many of the churches in our community, is more like the Samaritan worship. Now, independent fundamental Baptists tend to be a little bit more like the Jews. The formality, the truth part, King James Bible and all the rest, but no spirit. most of the other churches are the other side. I watched a video this morning, and I could not believe it, from some church not in our state, from a different state, and some guy was up there obviously kind of leading the quote-unquote praise, and he's, I mean, unbelievable. He's in just kind of a regular T-shirt and jeans or whatever, which I know is common these days, but, you know, he had his head shaved all the way here and then just kind of a longer piece of hair with a ponytail in the back, and he's leading the praise in church, and he's joking about, he's having a hard time getting his words out and joking about the fact that, you know, he must be drunk. And it wasn't just one time, oops, a slip of the mouth, joking about being drunk, but over and over and over, and talking to the people, joking with them about getting drunk on wine as if it were something to be joking about. And then he goes into this praise song about talk, where he's in the song singing to the Holy Spirit about make us drunk with you. We want to be drunk with you. Over and over and over, he's saying, Spirit, we want to be drunk with you. Listen, friends, that's the Samaritan type of worship. That's supposedly worshiping in spirit, but there's no truth involved. And God's not happy with that. God's also not happy with the dead formality that has the truth but no heart. God wants you and me to come and to worship, not just here, but every day, with the correct heart and the correct truth. That's what God wants us to have. So how can we worship in truth? Well, John chapter number 17, turn over there with me if you would. John 17, how do we worship in truth? We've already talked about how to worship in spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. The way to do that is get into God's Word, because His Word is Spirit and it is life. It will guide you to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God as something that will just cause praise to come out of you by natural overflow. Look at John 17, 17. The same idea now is true about worshiping in truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer to the Heavenly Father, and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if we want to worship the Father in spirit, it needs to come back to the Word of God, doesn't it? Now, not just a dead formality, but that will be a tool in the Spirit's hand to get us to worship him with our heart. But if we want the truth part, it goes right back to the Word of God. The way you and I can worship God is get into the Bible and learn about Him. If you want to worship God, worship Him, give Him praise, give Him glory, based on who He is according to His Word. Sometimes we get the idea in our mind that worship is just maybe what the Psalms say about glorying in God's creation or glorying in God's power, God saving me from this, and that's partly true. But it's more than that. It's giving God glory and praise and worshiping Him based on all of His attributes. Everything that He has in this Word is something that you and I need to worship Him with. The genealogies are part of God's truth. God inspired them, and He preserved them, and they are forever settled in heaven. The genealogies. And you and I need to take those things and use them as a tool to say, God, I may not even understand all that you're trying to do with those genealogies, but God, I'd like to worship you with those because they're truth. And God, I want to worship you based on what your word says. And I don't know why you included them, but I worship you and glorify you and praise you for the fact that you did. I know that they're there for a reason. And God, you do all things well. That's just one example. But over and over and over, if we're going to worship God in truth, it's going to be based on God's word. So friends, as you worship God in truth in your home, you're going to need to do so with an open Bible. If you're going to worship God in spirit in your home, it's going to have to be with an open Bible. Friends, when you come to church and you're going to worship God, a hymnal is a good thing to have open, but it cannot be a substitute for worshiping God with this book and responding in obedience to the Word of God is the best way to worship God. in spirit and in truth points you back to, again, the Word of God. So let me close with this question one more time. Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? And if not, why not? Because he's seeking such to worship him. And if he's seeking for that, shouldn't we want to give it to him? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would have your hand of blessing on the invitation that we'll have here in just a moment. Lord, in this very feeble attempt that I was able to give of trying to help us to understand what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, I pray that you would take this feeble attempt and, Lord, use it in the life of your church and your people. Lord, for all of us, that we would learn what it is to worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and convict us and help us so that you have what you seek for. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd use the invitation for Jesus' sake, and in his name we pray. Amen.